Yeah. Okay. Oh. Oh, I think I'm turned on again. Okay, first of all, I want to say thank you, because I won't be here next year and it's the beginning of the new year. But I'd like to say thank you to all of you here at Christchurch for all your prayers and thoughts in your cards this Christmas. And also for your support for John and I, because it's been a really difficult year for us, but we know that the Lord has been with us. And we want to say thank you to you for your prayers and your support. So I've brought something with me this morning as a little thank you. You ever seen a Jaffa cake that long? No. I want four children. You're not going to eat all these Jaffa cakes to yourself. Can I have four children? Anybody, any children in this morning? Come and see me. Please. Quick. Hurry up. Quick. It's an informal sermon. So we're going to do this in the sermon. I want you to open the box, put all the Jaffa cakes on a plate and take them round and give one to everybody. All right? Take them out that box. Look. Take one of those boxes over there. Open this, okay, and you put all these on a plate, and you take them round to everybody who's sitting out there, and you give them one. Yeah? Take the plate and say, would you like a Jaffa cake? If you don't like Jaffa cakes, off you go. First row, then the second row. Don't spill them. But the floor is clean, so if you want to pick them up. Thank you, Bill. Well, tell me, did you have a good day yesterday? Yes? Was it a busy day? Anybody out there? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody tell me what was their most favourite thing on Christmas Day? I didn't hear that. Being with family. Good. Anybody else? What was your most favourite thing on Christmas Day? Pardon? Opening presents. Anything else? Nobody had a really good time then. Eh? It was all miserable then. Yeah? What was your most favourite thing? Okwe hasn't got a Jaffa cake. You've got one, okay. What was your most favourite thing on Christmas Day? I think we're all tired on Boxing Day, don't you? Well, I like Christmas. I love Christmas time. I love the lights. You see, I like all this. The tinsel. I like the shopping centres where the lights sparkle, the lights shine and people are out there and some are singing carols and some look really harassed because they can't stand shopping anymore. I love Christmas because it brings families together. In some form or another, by just making the journey to home, to family and friends, to speak to Dad in the forces in Afghanistan. By making a difference, Christmas makes a difference in this darkness of the winter. The loneliness of the days when the house is empty. Thank you. And then it's full of children, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, arguing, tumbling around, excited because they're at Granny and Gramps. A house full of interesting things, food, games and music. And then gifts, yes. They can give you a headache sometimes. What can I give, Great Auntie May? Yeah, I'll take that off you. Thank you. Have you had one? Do you want one? No? Right. What can I give great Auntie May? What did I give her last year? What can I buy Susie? She's got everything anyway. What can I give? What can I buy Dad hankies every year? But even though it can be a headache, it's a nice thing to do. Because you can give something to someone that will please them. And they will enjoy using or playing or reading or watching. Now, Christmas is a reminder. When Bill showed that video, it was of the book of Matthew. And when we read Matthew, when we have Christmas every year, it reminds us of God's goodness to us. Of a promise that God gave that would change the lives of men and women, boys and girls. And I love the Christmas stories of those who lived long ago. They're part of our history as Christians. They're part of what we believe as Christians. The story of the telling of the story of Jesus, born thousands of years ago. His mother Mary and father Joseph, the Magi who came to find the child who was promised. They came bearing gifts. The shepherds who came from the field, who came to find the child that was promised by the angel. They came, as we see in our crib, they came, I think a shepherd, he has a sheep round his shoulder. They came, it doesn't actually say it in the New Testament, but they came bearing gifts. But Christmas is also a time to remember. We have the beauty of the lights. We enjoy being together with our families. We enjoyed our food and our presents. But it's a time to remember those who live without hope. Those who don't have a home to go to every night and sleep outside in Croydon in the cold. Those children who live in fear of a parent. People who live in fear of their enemies, who make their lives miserable and who are frightened to practice their Christian faith. I watched a programme on telly, I think it was on BBC 3 or 4, and it was of Christians in Iraq who are being attacked almost on a daily basis. The people who live there, or the militant fundamentalist Muslims, are trying to drive them out. And they are attacking them. And these Christians live in fear. Christmas is a time to remember those who are not as well off as we are. Who do not have the freedoms that we have just to come and to worship God. But Christmas is also a time to remember of the child Jesus. You see, the crib is very pretty. It looks lovely. But it doesn't tell anything. You can't smell the stable. You can't smell the fear that was around that time, that Herod might try to get the child. And Mary and Joseph went away to Egypt. They became refugees. They had to flee because Herod the king wanted to kill their son. They had to go and live in another country and could only return to their own country when Herod died. Christmas is a reminder. Christmas is a reminder that God cares about us and that God loves us. But I want to read something to you from this book by Philip Yancey. It's a really good book. And it's things he's written down about things he's put a lot of thought into thinking about Jesus and things he never knew about him. But a guy, a long time ago, wrote a story called Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. And then a long time after him, another guy called J.B. Phillips rewrote some of it so we could understand it in our language. But in the Phillips version, a senior angel is showing a very young angel around the splendours of the universe. They view whirling galaxies and blazing suns, and then flit across the infinite distances of space until at last they enter one particular galaxy of 500 billion stars. You can't imagine it, can you? The absolute wonder. Sometimes we can't see the stars because we live in a city. But when you go to the countryside and there are no lights, you can see millions of stars in the sky. Wonderful. Anyway, as the two of them drew near to the star, which we call our sun, and to its circling planets, the senior angel pointed to a small and rather insignificant sphere turning very slowly on its axis. It looked as dull as a dirty tennis ball to the little angel, whose mind was filled with the size and glory of what he had seen. "I want you to watch, Dan, that one particularly," said the senior angel, pointing with his finger. "Well, it looks very small and rather dirty to me," said the little angel. "What's special about that one?" To the little angel, the earth did not seem so impressive. He listened in stunned belief as the senior angel told him that this planet, small and insignificant and not overly clean, was the renowned visited planet. "Do you mean that our great and glorious prince went down in person to this fifth-rate little ball? Why should he do a thing like that?" The little angel's face wrinkled in disgust. "Do you mean to tell me," he said, "that he stooped so low as to become one of those creeping, crawling creatures of that floating ball?" "I do. And I don't think he would like you to call them creeping, crawling creatures in that tone of voice. For strange as it may seem to us, he loves them. He went down to visit them, to lift them up, to become like him." The little angel looked blank. Such a thought was almost beyond his comprehension. And Philip Yancey writes, "It is almost beyond my comprehension too. And yet I accept that this notion is the key to understanding Christmas, and is in fact the touchstone of my faith." Christmas reminds us of God's love and God's wonderful gift to mankind. God's gift didn't come wrapped in beautiful paper. His gift came in the form of a child, the form of a baby who became a man and who gave his life so that others might be brought back to God. And one of the verses I first learned as a young Christian was this one. And it's in the Gospel of John. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life." A gift given to us without thought for oneself, given with love to all. Paul the Apostle says this, "Let us thank God for his priceless gift." The Magi and the shepherds all went away praising God because they had seen the promised one, the baby, the gift given to God, given by God to his world. They had brought their gifts, and as we continue to enjoy our Christmas, let us think what we can give to God as our gift back to him to say thank you for what he has done for us. One writer of a famous Christmas carol wrote in the last verse, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. So what I can, I give him. I give him my heart." So go home today and enjoy. And remember that Christmas is a reminder to remember all that God has done in bringing his beloved Son to our world. And in return, we can give him what we have ourselves. Let's pray. Father, the Magi and the shepherds went away praising God. And so we too praise you and thank you for your goodness to us, for your love to us, and for your gift of Jesus to us. Amen.